Hello and welcome. I am Ben Lasky. This is the Eden Gathering podcast. Sam Fennin, sing us into book club. Let's talk about books with Ben. Let's talk about now and then. Let's talk. How's it go? I can't remember.
Let's talk about books with Ben. Let's talk about now and then. Let's talk about all the good books and the bad books that we've read. Let's talk about books. Yeah.
I am back with, well, you're back.
I am back.
You're back. You obviously did a great job last time.
Wow.
And you're back. This is Rebecca. What's your middle name?
Oh, don't. I hate my middle name. Thanks, Ben. My middle name is Francis.
Oh.
Rebecca Francis Warnock.
That's a nice name.
I hated it growing up. Like, literally. I don't know why. There's just something about the name. I'm just like, oh, I just don't like it.
If your name is Francis, and
yeah,
you're
I'm sorry. It's great for you.
And affirm
just,
you.
It's just not
lovely
for me.
Lovely is a first name. Lovely is a first name.
Yeah, just not for me.
What do you like being called? Because Alex calls you Bex.
Yeah, Bex is probably my preferred, like.
Because I never
that's
call
what
you
I
Bex.
Kind of grew up
I think
with.
I'll call you Becky.
Yeah.
Not Becca.
No, I've never really been called Becca. Bex is probably the most common.
Bex, okay. I'll try and work on around
right. You do that.
Bex. But you're not here to talk about adoption. Great podcast last week.
Thanks.
We can listen back. Well, you can listen back. We can't listen back. I mean, we could.
We could.
But yeah, listen back to that one. Get an introduction of who Rebecca Francis is. Because we won't go through that again. Because that would be pointless. But today...
Yes.
Is book club. We've already done the theme chain, which I know blesses everyone. Again, if you do want to submit something better, I know the bar is high, but you can. If you're sitting at home just thinking, I could take this to the next level. If you're an aspiring music producer, just email your submissions. Email? We probably don't have an email. We're for millennials. Airdrop us. Airdrop us an idea. And we'll get it done. So, Rebecca. I can't figure
so
it out.
So formal.
I don't
yes,
know.
Benjamin.
Don't.
Oh, you started
dear.
It.
Do you know what? I don't mind the Benjamin thing. Like, my Twitter is set up as, like, Benjamin.
What's your middle name?
I don't have one.
Oh, don't lie.
I don't. What's the book you brought in? What book is it?
The book I brought in is called Tattoos on the Heart.
Now, I did notice that you have... some pretty heavy ink on your body.
I do.
Have you read the Book of Leviticus, you sinner?
Yeah. I don't have an issue with it.
What's your biblical standing on tattoos? We haven't done tattoos
oh,
yet.
Oh, there you go. Can I come back? Talk
I
about
think
tattoos?
You and Levitt should get
yes,
on about
no.
tattoos. I wonder, Matt, tweet me about what you think about tattoos. I can probably guess. Is this about your love of tattoos?
No, it's got nothing to do with tattoos.
If you don't know Becky, I'll describe she's got a full sleeve up one arm. She's got a teardrop coming down on her cheek. And
does that mean you killed someone or something if you've got a teardrop
I think
coming
it
down
means,
your face?
I mean, or I'm not going to say. I think it's like means you're like part of the Crisps or something.
Oh, is
Crips.
It? This book will probably tell us that, actually.
Yeah.
But
tattoos on the heart.
Yes.
Which is hard to do because your heart is an organ inside of your body.
Yeah, I don't know any tattoo artist who would try that.
What tattoos do you actually have? That is a lie, what I just said. So.
I do have, I've got a bumblebee on my arm. I've got an aeroplane.
Am I allowed to ask what these mean?
The bumblebee wasn't really anything significant. It's just a bee.
Did it sting?
I've got a plane on my wrist, which is kind of... linked to our global partnerships and just kind of reminds me to think about them and pray for them.
Nice.
I've got some Hebrew writing on my other wrist, which says glory,
Shalom.
Honor, blessing.
Nice.
I have a butterfly on my left foot.
Oh my goodness, I didn't actually know you had that many.
Which, that was my first tattoo, which was just like...
Was that the mistake?
Random. No, not
There's
really.
There's always a mistake tattoo, surely.
Yeah. No, it was like, I quite still like it.
Yeah.
And then I've got a deer on my right foot, which Alex, our lovely sound... guy here, always calls it a llama.
A llama?
He always thinks it looks like a llama.
Oh dear.
So
I can't see it.
That's,
oh yeah, no,
it's
no.
After,
that's clearly a stag
thanks,
or a deer.
Yeah.
Or
I had that because...
that's a stag, not a deer, right?
Yeah, it's a stag. Yeah. It's the fact there's a verse in 2 Samuel that says, God will make your feet like that of a deer, enabling you to stand on the heights.
And has that paid off?
Well, yeah.
You should read
so.
Leviticus.
Okay, all right. I'll go away and read
Not
Leviticus
Samuel.
And then start having them removed.
So what is this book actually about? So,
it's nothing to do with tattoos.
Okay. Of course it isn't. Don't judge a book by its cover.
Well,
why would it be
not.
About tattoos? It's only got tattoos on the cover. It's actually got a lot of work. Can I have a look?
You can.
Pass it over. Look, we'll do a sound effect of it passing. Oh, now I have a book in my hand. Can you hear it? This is for you, the audience at home, to hear that I have a book in my hand. Right, so this is a New York Times bestseller.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. They put that on a lot of books,
though. They do, don't they? I wonder what counts as a bestseller. Like, how many books do you have to sell?
It's a winner of the 2011 Penn Center USA Literary Award for Creative Nonfiction.
That means nothing to me, but great.
Yeah, no, I've no idea. Oh, I like this. I like this. It's by Gregory Boyle.
Mm.
Is that how you're saying that?
It is.
Founder of Homeboy Industries.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's pretty
Homeboy
cool,
Industries.
Isn't it?
Right, yeah. And I'm going to read the little thing. It's a little quote on the front. It says, "An astonishing book about suffering and dignity, death and resurrection."
Can you just say dignity again for me in the Colchester accent?
Dignity. How do you say it then?
Dignity.
Dignity.
No, dignity.
Dignity. Dignity. Death and resurrection. One of my favourite books in years. It is lovely and tough and tender beyond my ability to describe and left me in tears, both sorrow and laughter. This sounds like an absolute roller coaster.
I know, it's hardcore.
So we're talking about, what do you reckon that is? Philosopher's Stone sort of length?
Philosopher's Stone?
Yeah.
That's in Harry Potter?
Yeah.
That's shorter than that.
Shorter than that?
Yeah.
That's the shortest Harry Potter book though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Your name is in the front, as I've noticed in all of the books. Like, you have a lot of books because the amount of ones that we've had on Book Club that I open up and say Rebecca Warnock on the front.
Everyone borrows my books and then like, I very rarely get them back.
I can tell. So on the cover as well, so it's called Tattoos on the Heart, The Power of Boundless Compassion. And is that it's not good when you don't know if it's Jesus or Mary on the front. Who
it's
is
some
it?
Catholic idol of some
oh,
sort.
Right. But it kind of looks like
know.
It's on a bong. Is it on a bong?
Isn't it on one of those like, oh, this could be really offensive to any Catholics listening. Like, don't Catholics have like...
I don't
think
we've got a huge Catholic audience.
Like,
but
there's
well,
glasses.
You're welcome if we do.
They have like glasses, don't they? Tall ones that they put a candle in. And they often have like the Virgin Mary or Jesus or some other saint on them. And then they light them at certain times, I think.
It looks like a bong to me. So sorry if you're Catholic and that is a rude thing to say. But who is it, Jesus? I'm passing
I don't know.
The
Let me
back.
Have a look. Yeah, I reckon it's Jesus.
So tell us about why you picked this one up then.
This book is kind of autobiographical. Is that the word? Autobiographical. That's the word.
Alex is giving you the thumbs up.
Yeah, good. Of the guy who wrote it, Gregory Boyle, who is a Catholic priest. And basically he has dedicated his life to working with gangs and drug addicts in Los Angeles.
Oh, cool.
So the book is really his story of how he did that, but then also what he's learned through that and just some of the stories that he's picked up from working on the streets and with these gangs.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah.
So where did you pick it up?
I read it last year. I just ordered it randomly off Amazon. I don't know how I actually came across it, but last year I had a sabbatical from work and I was about to go out to Los Angeles to work, do some volunteering with an organisation that we're working with some of the street.
I'm going to take my sabbatical in LA, man.
It was good. It was good.
Sounds fantastic.
So it's before I went out there. And so I just wanted to get a grasp as much as I could about gang culture and about kind of the needs of Los Angeles. So I came across this book. And yeah, thought I'd give it a read and it was good.
Nice. And what is it about?
It goes through stories of people on the street. So Father Boyle, as he's like most commonly known.
Is he American geezer?
Yes. Yeah. No, you made me question. Yeah, no, he's American.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just like as soon as someone says father, like the Irish accent goes in my head, doesn't it? Is that just me?
Yeah. I don't think
racist?
He appeared on Father Ted.
That's not racist, is it?
No, I don't think so. Anyway, yeah, so Father Boyle just goes through some of the stories of what he's experienced. And so he will talk about how he gets phone calls when someone's been shot And when someone's child's being killed on the street, and they will ring him first because they know that he's the one who will come and show love and compassion to them. So he's got this real heart for gangs and for drug dealers and for drug addicts, and he will do anything to show love to them and support them. So he will go out in the middle of the night if they call him and they're in need. He's been involved massively in seeing reconciliation between rival gangs.
Interesting. I don't think we really get it. Like a bunch of people in Suffolk and our broader listeners, listeners from different areas and that. I don't think we really understand like gang culture in LA. It's not like something that's in the movies.
No.
And in the East Side as well, like New York and that, like, it is real, it is proper, and it's every day.
Yeah. Yeah, it's dark. Like, I don't think, so I've read a bit around it, certainly before going to LA last year, but then when I was out there, you really see it as well.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, like, I was in one area of LA called Compton, and...
Straight out of Compton,
literally straight out of Compton. Yeah.
We think that's a film.
Yeah, like...
It's not.
No, it really is the reality. Yeah. And it's like the most run-down place you would ever see. Like just rows and rows of these poor, really poor housing. And like there's some roads that if you're in a gang, you do not cross over to the other side of that road. When we were there, there was a guy on a... what's my mind gone blank?
Can't help you. You're terrible at charades.
Some vehicle.
Scooter? Like,
no.
Golf cart.
No,
unicycle.
No, keep going.
Bike.
No.
Car?
No.
Quad bike.
Quad bike. That's the one. There's a guy on a quad bike and just like shouting and swearing and holding a gun up in the air and just shooting this gun into the air. And we were like there just, we were knocking on doors asking people if they wanted any help.
Days.
And this guy's just shooting a gun into the air. And like, it really opens your eyes to like, this is a reality for them. Like, and some of the people I was with there, they say shootings happen every day in Compton and in that area.
I mean, the only reason why I know about it is because I'm really into this, like, Tupac and Biggie, Notorious B.I.G.
Yep.
And, like, that was all...
That's old school 90s, that, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, I love all that. That's I haven't got a little bit of knowledge on it. But So what is this written? Is it written like a diary or like...
No, not really. So he goes through different themes of what it means to be, to suffer, what it means to show dignity and love to people, what reconciliation looks like. And so each chapter goes through those kind of different themes, but he uses stories to illustrate that about how he's seen that work.
And do you know how he built up a reputation for that then? Does it go into that at all? Because I'd be interested how does a priest...
Yeah.
So that's what they're called,
isn't
it? Yeah,
it was. I can't...
A priest end up...
I'm rubbish when I read a book. When I remember. But I think he literally just started going up to them and befriending them.
So, yeah.
And, like, and he's had hassle from people. Like, he's had his life threatened.
And surely if you, like, you go to help that person, then you've made another enemy.
Yeah, yeah. But I think likewise as well, when he's, like, he talks about he's got... connections with people who are like the top of the gangs, like gang leaders.
Yeah.
And so he's got a lot of respect and people who will protect him because he's helped them out and because there's like a respect there.
And even like in that gang culture, there is actually a lot of them will be like Christians.
Yeah.
Like,
they're
Christians. And,
yeah. Certainly in America as well, where faith is different.
I think it's hard. I'm just trying to help us like get a perspective on it really. Cause it does sound like movies, but obviously you've been there, so
but I think like for me, so certainly from taken from the book is actually like, what does it, because it's so removed from where we are now, so I read it in preparation for going to LA, but actually it's more than that, that actually it opens your eyes to what does it really look like to care for and love broken people and people who are difficult, unlovable, like we've all got them around us. They might not be in gangs, they might not be drug dealers, but there's difficult people that need, that are broken and that need need love.
And that it's risky.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah. Like, and the risks pay off. So like he's done stuff that's hugely risky, but actually God's protected him and God's provided a way. He now runs this whole ministry, like you say, called Homeboy Industries. They've got like a cafe. They help train people and educate people through that. So they're really giving back to these people and helping them create something for their life. They're not just saying, right, come out the gang culture, find Jesus. They're actually saying, right, let's rebuild your life and give you purpose and help you do something good.
So what's your favourite? like, have you got a standout story from in there? Or?
Oh.
Been a while since
you read it. It's been a while since I said it. Yeah, that's a good question. I think, so I can't remember all the details, but there was, he was called to the home of, I think someone like a 10-year-old boy who'd been shot dead.
Oh my goodness.
And there was like older siblings and a mum and stuff there. And obviously, like, you know, if you asked us to that situation, there's no words, is there, that makes that better. But actually through that, they managed to take the older siblings into their projects and really turn their life around and got them out of the gangs. And I think the mum was just so grateful because she's already lost one young child to this, and she would have easily lost all the others. And that's where they're all heading. But actually his intervention in a crisis actually turned that around. And
so how do you then, and so you've read this, you've then gone out to LA, and I know the project wasn't specifically that work, but still environment, culture is all kind of similar. How do you then come back to Suffolk and have a heart for that stuff and implement it here? What sort of impact does it add on you?
I think just the stuff here in Suffolk is more hidden. So there certainly are broken people behind closed doors on our street that we just don't necessarily know. And so through some of the work that we do at the church, we get to find out some of them. So we get referrals from social care services, from other professionals, from health professionals, from education, people who are broken and in need. And so, for me, it's about personally, like, I need to have a heart for those people, but also how do I, the challenge really is how do I get the wider church to really grasp that and get that and want to make a difference in that? Because I do believe we can make a difference, and we have almost the key to giving hope to people and restoring people's lives. I think that's what I've got from the book, and also from going to LA, coming back, that actually we have to be in the business of restoration for people, restoring people to a relationship with Jesus, but also restoring people to life and freedom and, you know,
and I guess that we're in quite a lucky position, lucky, blessed, whatever you want to call it, that we can actually offer some practical help. So like, well, when you talk about a bit about like the hardship fund and stuff that we have.
So we, as a church, we operate a hardship fund, which,
because we don't tend to hear about this stuff, but there's amazing stuff going on.
Yeah, there is. So we operate this hardship fund where we can give one-off gifts of small amounts of money. So we tend to give like £200-£300 at a time to people in real need. And
that's real need for anyone real listening.
If you want some new kicks, we're not going to fund them. but unless you've got no kicks, then maybe we would. I don't know. But yeah,
not 300 quid though.
No. So, I mean, just this week I've had a family that we provided some money for them to get school uniform for the new term, because they literally haven't got anything. And yeah, the kids would not be going to school.
This is
local. Oh, yeah. This is in mid Suffolk.
Wow.
So yeah, families who, you know, they haven't, like today I've purchased a washing machine for someone because they haven't had a washing machine.
Which sounds like a luxury, but put yourself in that, like, situation.
Imagine single mum, four kids trying to
wash your clothes in a bath.
Yeah, exactly. One of them still wets at night. So you're washing sheets all the time, like doing that by hand or having to go to a laundrette with it all. Like that's hard work. And so, yeah, we do take it for granted.
So then how do you then take people on that journey? How do you make sure that's more than, because that's a sensitive situation to navigate, isn't it? It's like, well, we're doing this without an agenda.
Yeah.
We're doing this just to love you.
Yeah.
But also not leaving it there. And
Exactly. So we try and, I make a real effort that, like, I want to connect with those people direct. So all the referrals for that come through professionals. But I always make a thing of, like, I want to go and deliver the money direct to them, or I'll call them to speak to them about it, so that they've got a connection to us. And then also we try and follow them up as well. So within a few months after they've received some money, we'll give them a call, see how they're doing, see if there's anything else we can help with. And we always offer that if there's other stuff we can help with. So they might get referred to us for some money, but actually we might then refer them into some of our other projects, like the Furniture Bank, Moses Project, Practical Support, where we might go into the home and do some stuff. And that often happens where we, able to do more than just the one thing for them.
Yeah. And we're like, we don't shout about it because it's a bit awkward to, like, it's just awkward to navigate because these people aren't to be used for marketing purposes. You know, these are real people with real needs.
We want to give them respect and dignity, don't we? Like, that's
We don't want to blow our own trumpet, but actually, it's not us.
No,
it's not. Like, I mean, no disrespect. It's not you.
No, of course not.
It's the generosity of the people that give to the Forge.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, definitely.
It?
Yeah, yeah.
And like, obviously, there is some like grant stuff and all that we do as well. But you know, if you give to the Forge, this is what you're giving.
Yeah, some of that goes towards these kind of things.
You're not looking at a Sunday. You know, you're not just making Sundays happen. That's a small part of what we do.
Yeah.
And not really part of your role at all.
No.
A lot of what we do is this stuff, and you might not see it and might not hear about it.
Yeah.
But there's loads of awesome stuff going on.
Yeah, there really is.
So thanks if that is you.
Wow. Yeah, indeed.
And So yeah, if that's you, then thank you. So this is all like, Alex is just jumping around the room. Alex, it's a wasp. Chill.
It's not
going to
kill you.
It could sting you for like a second and it would hurt for like a microsecond. It's going to be fine. Anyway, so for those of us that think like, what can I do? I don't live in LA,
mm-hmm.
where these gangs are at. Mm-hmm. You've spoken about kind of a bit about what we do in the UK. But we're all called to this work.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or does he expand on that a bit?
Yeah, I believe so. So like, so the guy who wrote this, Gregory Boyle, he kind of got this calling to work with these gangs because he was, as part of his training to become a Catholic priest, I think that's right, he felt really led to this area of LA, led to serve in kind of hard situations. And I think partly like God has got a role for us to play, all of us, like in different ways.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, do you need to wait to be called to do this stuff? Or is this what everyone should be doing? You know?
For me, that's like, you might get me started on something here, because I always feel really passionate about people who kind of can easily talk themselves out of doing stuff saying, oh, well, that's not my thing. I haven't got the resources to do that. I don't know the knowledge how to do that. And I'm just like, just get on and do it. Like there's people who are broken and hurting, and even if you don't know the right words, even if you haven't got the resources to help them, there is something you can do that shows love and compassion to that person.
Just try.
And if it's genuine, like, it almost doesn't matter if you get it wrong. And so I just would want people to try and help others and show love. Even if you do get it wrong.
I think so, like sometimes we wait for, well, like a bit like we spoke about on the last podcast, where we were talking about those kind of like more romantic, I'm using quotation mark, romantic moments. What I mean by that is like the great epiphany, the tears, the this is what I should be doing, or you know, this is the kid that I'm going to adopt, or this is the kid that I've had and I love it so much. Like, and actually maybe it's just about doing little bits.
Yeah.
Starting with little bits. Yeah. And
I think you don't know where that will lead. Mm. So I think, I don't know if Gregory Ball in, you know, of this book, just, you know, when he first went up to the first gang member we spoke to, I don't know if he expected it to turn into this massive ministry that's like world famous.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's speaking like all over the world about this stuff. And did he know that was going to happen?
Yeah.
Probably not. But actually I think God sometimes is waiting on us and shouting at us, being like, just do something. And I've got this massive thing planned.
I think like we forget what our responsibilities are. So we can often feel responsible for the outcome, whereas the only thing we're really in control of is what we say and what we do.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
And that's our job.
Yeah.
So our job isn't to create a ministry.
No.
Immediate. Like, that's not our job. Our immediate job is to speak to the person, the 10-year-old's mum who's just been shot.
Yeah.
You know? And I think we can get too bigger. As you say, like, it's making excuses, but it's getting wrapped up in something that's too big.
Yeah. And I think also some people might read a book like this, or they see other ministries and organisations, they're like, oh, that's what I want to do with my life.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, but you're not at that point. Like, just go love your neighbour.
Yeah.
Like, show care for, you know, the people you know that are hurt and broken. And God might do something with that.
Like, whether that's rural.
Yeah. Or whether that's in LA. Cool. Like, it could be either.
Definitely. Well, if you want to chat about this stuff further, well, like, this kind of fits into a bit of the, like, the social action stuff that Eden does. That's why We do what we do around that. We don't have any details for that for August right now. But the next Eden gathering is September the 5th at the Mix in Stowmarket.
Mm-hmm.
We discussed last time. If you're there and you serve, you get pizza.
Yeah.
So again, message us. Tweet me.
That's the
thing to do. Tweet me at Benjamin Lasky, Instagram as well. And that's the best way to get in touch with us, really, because I can pass that on to who I need to pass that on to. Becky, awesome.
Yes.
Rebecca, Francis.
Oh, no, not again. Yes, Benjamin.
how can people stay in touch with you?
People
are interested about adoption, mission.
Twitter, Instagram is probably best
tattoos.
Way. Tattoos. Please don't give me abuse about tattoos. Let's
have a deep online discussion about the theology around tattoos.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm good with that.
Great.
So Twitter, Instagram, Rebecca Warnock.
Rebecca Francis Warnock?
No, just the Rebecca Warnock.
So how long after you got married did you change? Did you have like the handle lined up?
Do you know what? I was one of those sad ones that changed it before.
Oh, really?
Like only just before, like a couple of weeks before.
Okay.
Not like, only because I was like, I want to make sure I can get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's a big deal with handles. I would have
checked before I even like accepted Tim on a first date.
Oh, fair enough.
I'd have been like, can I get a good handle here?
Yeah.
Otherwise.
It was all right, thankfully.
It's hard for women. They've got to keep changing that. Yeah, did you like practice your signature as well?
No,
like,
not really. I didn't do that until like way after we got married.
Because I noticed that you signed that book, Rebecca Warnock.
That's because it was new. I only got it last year.
Ah, okay. See? It's not like you've been signing, because obviously you knew Tim was the one right from...
No.
From the first moment you set eyes on him. Well, after you'd been friends for like ages.
Yeah.
So, probably
that's
not.
That's got weird.
Yeah. But, you know, something about Muse. Let's bring up Muse again. can we play Muse? We can't. Copyright, innit? So we'll have to play the other music. Everybody get up. I don't know where to take this now. Alex, we'll have to edit this bit out.
Why, what's wrong?
I don't know what to say next for the first time ever.
We digressed from the book.
I'll be honest, so I'm dealing with the fact that there's a wasp in here knocking about, and I don't mind when I can move around, but when I'm sitting still, I don't like a wasp.